Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today.
Thank you for your sacrifice and for doing that for us. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. If you dare say, I am. And it says, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow Him. Let your roots grow down into Him and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Now that's the New Living Translation, and I'm going to read you the Amplified Version. It's not going to be on the screen, but I want you to hear the Amplified Version of that. It says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in union with Him, reflecting His character in the things you do and say, living lives that lead others away from sin. And here's where I want you to pay real close attention. Having been deeply rooted in Him and now being continually built up in Him and becoming increasingly more established in your faith, just as you were taught and overflowing in it with gratitude. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for this word. Lord, let the word go forth. Let seed be planted, and let there be roots that are grown in our lives today. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. I'm so glad you're here today. Today, those of you that have been with us at Calvary Temple for the past 3 years, can y'all believe this is my third summer here? I'm so excited y'all ain't fired me yet. Oh, gosh. It is so awesome, and I hope you never catch on. But listen, I'm starting my third summer sermon series. I like to take the summer, and I like to put in something that is really, I want to do basic Christianity and how to maintain your Christian life throughout the summer. I want to teach some basics. Now we'll get into some deep stuff, because roots grow deep, amen? We'll get into some deep stuff, but I want to do something that speaks about our root system today. That's the reason why, and for the next few weeks. It's a total of 5 weeks that I'm going to be preaching on roots. And everybody's going, how are you going to preach on roots for 5 weeks? They grow, they go deep, and they give stuff. There's a purpose for it. Y'all just hang with me, because there's more to it than you think. There is more to it than you think, and I'm going to get into that. But today I'm starting that brand new series. We're going to do a message this week and next week, and then we're going to take a break for Father's Day. And then I've got a very special day on the last Sunday of this month and the first Sunday of next month. Let's just FYI, first Sunday of next month in July, we're going to have what I'm calling Freedom Sunday. It is July the 2nd, I believe, and we're going to be doing baptism and communion that day. So if you want to be baptized, now is a great time to do it. I don't mind dunking you one bit, because there's two reasons for baptism. Number one, it's a sign to ourselves that we have been buried with Christ and raised up with Him. And we are a new creation. And it's also a sign for the church that, hey, y'all got to hold me accountable. How many of you want this church to hold you accountable? Yeah, we're going to find out about that. No, I'm kidding. But we're going to have that, and then we'll get back into the series. But this week is the very first week, and I'm going to be laying down a lot of foundation stuff. And I told Brother Brad before service, I really hope I don't put people to sleep with all the technical stuff that I'm talking about today. Because it's laying the foundation for the next 5 weeks. For the next 5 messages I'm going to be preaching. Now, most people here at Calvary Temple, you know my struggle. You've heard me talk about my struggle. By the way, my title for today is Roots, but it's also, the subtitle is The Central Root. the central root. If you hear me say, I do. But most people here at Calvary Temple, you know my struggle. I've always had the type of attitude, and I've talked about this a little bit, where if I don't know how to do something, I'm going to find out how to do it. I'm a learner. I like to read books. I didn't want to read one book. I just wanted somebody to tell me how to do it, and it would be done. But now I read books. I get online. Can I tell you, YouTube is your best friend when it comes to fixing stuff around the house? I'm not necessarily mechanically inclined, as some people in this room are. I can do some things, but right now there's a situation with my deck at the house. I've got to figure out what I've got to do. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go on YouTube, and I'm going to talk to Brother Rodney. Because Brother Rodney knows what he's talking about. I ain't going to ask him to do it, but I'm going to ask him to tell me, hey, what's the best way to do this thing? But I like to see stuff, and I say, you know what? Well, if there's something I don't know how to do and I think it's cool, I say, well, you know what? I can learn to do that. I did that with the piano. I did that with guitar. I've taught myself how to play those instruments. I've done all these things. And I would watch YouTube videos. I would read books and all that. I research. I watch videos. I read books. I talk to people who have done it and ask what the best way to learn. But there's one thing that I want to do that I cannot do. I have looked it up. I have studied it. I have talked to people who know how to do it. But I can't grow anything in any kind of flower bed. Or I can't let... Come on. Anybody else got a black thumb in the house? Come on. Y'all of you with green thumbs, God bless you. Come to my house, touch my grass, and lay hands on it and pray for it. Because this week, a bunch of mushrooms just started coming up, and I'm like, what did I do? I go over and I talk to Sunshine. Sunshine knows her stuff. She's the one that got Debbie and Sheila to plant the plants that they've got out in the flower bed. That's what it's called. See, I can't even tell you what it's called. But in the flower bed out in front of the front building. And they look beautiful, don't they? Can we give them a hand? They look absolutely gorgeous, and I appreciate them doing that because that means that I don't waste money on flowers that I kill. If you want a plant to die, just let me come over to your house and let me take care of it. But this is why I was very confused when God wanted me to use this title for this year's summer sermon series, Roots. Because I'm not good at flowers. I'm not good with roots. I'm not good with growing things. I'm not good with a garden. Usually you preach or you teach what you know. That's why I teach on forgiveness. I know God has forgiven me. That's why I teach on steadiness and consistency. Thank you. My wife is my brain today. Thank y'all. Consistency, because I know that consistency changes things. That's why I preach on the Holy Spirit, because I have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I've experienced healing. I've experienced forgiveness. I've experienced the weight of burden, of guilt and condemnation being taken off of my shoulders. I can preach on that. I can tell you about that kind of stuff. And usually you preach on what you know or what you've experienced. God sort of calmed my heart when in my mind and said, listen, don't worry, you've got this. He said, I want you to teach on roots. And he said, you're much better at cultivating and taking care of a soul than you are a tomato plant. And I went, thank you, Jesus, because I don't like tomatoes. I like people. And then God sort of put me in my place. And he said, besides, who's the one really teaching them anyway? And I was like, dadgummit, you had to go there, didn't you? And he reminded me, I'm just a vessel. I'm not anything special. What I am is I'm a conduit for God to use. I'm what a friend of mine, a preacher friend of mine, he preached a message years ago called A Vessel for a Miracle. And that's all I want to be. So I want to be a vessel for a miracle in your life. So I ended up studying for hours. You can ask Debbie. Friday, I locked myself into my office from about 8:30, 9 o'clock, somewhere around there. I don't know. It may have been 9:30, but I didn't come out of my office till 3:30 at least. And I'd been studying hours before that, but I was having a hard time writing things down and getting things on paper. But I ended up studying for hours about root systems and different kinds of roots. I even went to finegardening.com. And I looked and I started learning the ins and outs of roots and the horticultural terms and the actions that would happen. God started reminding me of how many times his people were likened to plants and more specifically to trees in the Bible. Job spoke in chapter 14 of his book, verses 7 through 9, says, "Even a tree has more hope if it's cut down. It will sprout again and grow new branches. Though its roots have grown old in the earth and its stump decays, at the scent of water, at the scent of life, at the scent of presence of nutrients and what it needs to grow, it will sprout again like a new seedling." Isaiah prophesied in chapter 11 of his book when he said, "Out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root." We know that's a prophecy of Jesus Christ when he was going to come from the line of David, which looked like it was all but gone. Our scripture today in verse 7 says, "Let your roots grow down into him." And I felt God revealing to me the reason for this series was simply to help establish a root system for people in this room and for our community. A root system that will help you survive the drought of the Spirit when you don't feel God. The root system that will help you survive the winds and the troubles and the trials that come your way. Are you with me? My purpose for this series is this. I want you to walk away understanding the importance of being rooted in Christ. I want you to identify the roots of your life and what those roots are. And I want you to have the knowledge to maintain those roots and take care of them. And the reason why is because the roots impact the entire tree. Let me say that again. The roots impact the entire tree. Your roots in your life with Christ will impact every step of your walk with him. This thing is bugging. I told you I'm technologically challenged today. If you're ready to dive into it, say amen. First thing I want to tell you about is the importance of roots. Roots are meant to do two things. Everybody say two things. They're meant to do two things. They're meant to bring stability and they're meant to bring nourishment. If you go out, how many of you have ever been digging a hole and you come up on a root system? How many of you were not very happy when you found that root system? Because you had to dig through it. And some of those roots would get really thick, so especially if they're a tree root. Now, bush roots and like grass roots and that kind of stuff, a little easier to get through, right? A little easier to cut through. But you can pull them up and weeds and all that kind of stuff. You can pull all of that stuff up. Stability is supposed to bring stability. Without deep roots to hold it in place, a tree has no chance of survival, and no matter how big it is. I had a huge hickory tree in our backyard when I was growing up. I'm talking about big old hickory tree. I would stand on one side. My brother would stand on the other side. We put our arms out, and we could barely touch each other. It was that kind of big tree. It was a huge tree. And there would be these big old huge hickory nuts that would fall down. And my dogs, we raised basset hounds. And my dogs, they'd get back there. And next thing we know, we see the dogs out. They're going, and they're just gnawing on those hickories, those hickory nuts. And they had a blast with it. They were sitting there enjoying it. But that tree, if it did not have a root system that dug deep into the ground, we had a tornado that came by our house. It wasn't real close to our house the time that I was there. But it came down the street and down the street, it hurt a couple of houses and a couple of trees were blown over. But when that tornado came through, if that root system was not deep enough and not strong enough and not stable enough, then that tree would have been tipped over and would have fallen either on our house or the house next door, or it could have fallen over in our neighbor's yard, wherever. Because of the root system, though, it brought stability. Without that root system to hold it in place, that tree has no chance of survival. When I go fishing, y'all know I got to work three things into my messages: God, fishing, and food. Just be aware of it. But when I go fishing, I look for root balls on the edge of the bank. Now, those of you that have fished for any amount of time, you know why. Because it means that a tree has fallen into the water, and that big root ball that is laying on the bank is a signal that there's probably a little habitat down there. So I look for that kind of stuff. But it's all because that root system could not support that big old tree. It did not go deep enough. It did not grow strong enough. What happens when a storm comes or straight line winds start blowing is that tree just falls over when it's not strong enough. When those roots aren't strong enough. During times of drought and during times of scarcity, those roots will dig deeper so that it can find nourishment and it can find water. Some of us need to hear that today. The reason why you're not hearing from God right now is because you might be in a dry time where He's trying to get you to do something a little extra, to dig a little deeper, and so that your roots will go a little bit further. Are you with me? That's not even in my notes today, so y'all just, that's a little free little nugget there. But it's meant to bring stability and nourishment. Nourishment, it is through the roots that the needed nutrients, the minerals, the hydration, the fertilizer, all reaches the tree. Without those elements, it becomes weak, dry, brittle, and most importantly, unfruitful. You wonder why God's not using you the way He used to? Have you done any root maintenance lately? Oh, it got real quiet in this Pentecostal church. The only way to keep from being unstable and malnourished in our spiritual lives is to be rooted and grounded in Christ Himself. God equates us to trees and plants all throughout Scripture. There's a passage in Jeremiah that perfectly describes what happens when we do not have the root system that God intended for us to have. Jeremiah 17, 5 through 6 says, "This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength, and they turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like," and here's where He relates it to us and relates us to like trees and shrubs. "They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in a barren wilderness and an uninhabited salty land." When we expect the world or other people, when we expect the people around us to be our root system, when we expect other people or even our own strength to get us through our struggling times in our lives, we end up stunted and anemic in our spiritual lives. If I'm relying on my wife to be my spiritual barometer and my spiritual thermometer, then I'm not my roots aren't going to the right place. Because I love my wife, but my wife will fail at times. My wife will make mistakes. I know she is perfect to y'all, okay? She is perfect. I need to be very careful right here. I just realized what I just stepped in. She is perfect. Let me reverse that. If she relies on me, because I know I make mistakes, if her joy is found in me, then her joy is fleeting. If her peace is found in me, then her peace will only last a short amount of time, and it'll only last until I get ill about something or until something happens inside of me that changes my attitude. But if we rely on the right, see, if we rely on the wrong things, we become stunted and anemic. We don't get what we need. Our source is somewhere else. Not your husband is not your source. Your wife is not your source. Your children are not your source. Your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your great-grandmama who prayed you into the kingdom is not your source for the kingdom. He describes all of this, and he talks about how anemic we'll be and we'll be stunted shrubs. But then he describes what happens when we put our trust where it belongs, when we put our roots where it needs to be, in who Jesus Christ is, or in who God is in his case. Because at this time, he didn't know about Jesus. At this time, he didn't have that Savior. He only had God to rely on. But he knew that if he put his roots in God, if he put his trust in God, everything would be different. In verses 7 and 8, he says, but blessed. How many of y'all want to be blessed? Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along the riverbank with roots that can reach deep into the water. Oh man, Lord, I could spend all day on reaching deep into the water that is a life-giving breath of God that comes from the throne of God and comes to us on a daily basis, where all we've got to do is dip our toe in, open the Bible, say, God, I'm here for you, and just speak to him, and that water starts flowing inside of us and moving through us and gives us the nutrients we need so that we can be stable and nourished in who he is. They are like trees planted by the riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat. This will preach, y'all. They're not bothered by the financial situation in the town. They're not worried about whether God is mad at them or not. And they're in a drought. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green. Their praise stays life, has life to it. Their worship has fulfillment inside of them with it. It shows on the outside. See, that's what that is. That's what the leaves are. And I've got a whole thing and I'm getting way off. But that's what the leaves are sort of equated to. And one of the studies that I looked at was the overflowing thanksgiving of this verse. The original verse that I read is that it shows people there's life on the inside of us. Their leaves stay green, and they never, somebody say never. Never, say never. Never. Turn to the person next to you and say never. They never stop producing fruit. Some of you in the room have said, I'm too old to produce fruit now. I'm just going to let somebody else take care of that today. I'm going to let somebody else invite someone to church. I'm going to let somebody else teach that class. I'm going to let somebody else lead that group. I'm going to let somebody else mentor those young men and those young women that have been coming on Wednesday nights. It's just not me. Never stop producing fruit. It's not an option, guys. When we're rooted in Christ, fruit will come. When the root is healthy, the fruit is healthy. You can produce fruit and it not be healthy. But as long as your root is healthy, your fruit will be healthy. If you're with me, say I am. I got to hurry. Otherwise, it's going to be an 8-week sermon or message. Troubles and struggles are going to come our way as followers of Christ. Can we agree on that? Doesn't matter how long you serve God, you're going to have issues where you butt your head against a wall and you feel like your prayers hit the ceiling and come right back down to you, and you're going to deal with struggles. You know why? We live in a fallen world and a fallen creation. It's not because God's mad at you. And some of us, we sit there and say, the devil's after me. The devil's after me. No, the devil ain't after you. You just live in a fallen world where things happen. Now, I understand the devil is out to steal, kill, and destroy, but the devil didn't make you miss your turn. The devil was distracting me. No, you trying to find a good song on the radio is what distracted you. It's not the devil's fault. God never promised us a peaceful walk with him, only that his presence would be the peace we need in the middle of the walk and in the middle of the storm. He walks with us during the sunshine and during when it's bright and shiny and everything's going perfect. But he also walks with us in the middle of the storm when everything looks like we're about to go underwater. And the thing is, we can't wait until the winds blow and the rains come to dig deep and to let our roots grow deep and anchor ourselves in who Jesus is. We can't wait until then to start doing maintenance. That's the reason why I'm doing this series today. There's a movie released in 1996. It's one of the movies that Amy and I used to watch on a regular basis. I even made up a phrase that I'm not going to tell you that goes with this movie. Go Flintstones. Or Jetsons, excuse me. One of those. Anyway, moving right along. But the thing is, We went and watched this movie, and it's called Twister. Anybody ever watch that movie? Oh, man, I love that movie. It was all about tornadoes and all this stuff. And Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton were in this movie. And at the end of the movie, they are chasing this F5 tornado, which is supposed to be the most destructive. They judge them by how much stuff they eat, is what they call it, or what they tear up. And this is supposed to be an F5, which is supposed to be one of the worst that there can be. Some of you have lived through tornadoes. You have lived through situations. This is supposed to be one of the worst ones. And what they did was they were driving this truck. They were storm chasers, which, number one, Lord, help those people. There's something wrong in their heads. Don't go chasing a tornado. Anyway, they were chasing these storms, and it got right on top of them, and they drove into a situation, and they ended up having to take a belt and wrapping it around some pipes that were going deep into the ground. There were supposed to be water pipes or something. I don't even know what kind of pipes they were. They took a belt and tucked them. Now, of course, this is all fake and it's not real. But let me tell you something. If they had tried to dig deep at that point and tried to put some pipes down into that ground at that moment, it wouldn't have worked. You know why? Because it's too late when the storm comes to start digging deep into Jesus and trying to ask him to do something in your life when you haven't laid down the groundwork for the relationship. Now, I'm not saying Jesus won't show up in your time of need. But what I will say is that you're going to have a whole lot more struggle if you wait till then. And then we end up blaming God. Well, God didn't see everything through that he said he was going to do. Well, that's all right. You didn't put the seed in the ground before that storm came either. So don't blame God for your laziness. Don't blame God for your spiritual laziness of picking up the Word on Sunday morning or every morning and reading through it. Don't blame God for the fact that you felt like staying at home and sleeping in a little bit later instead of coming to church on Sunday mornings and spending time. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir because y'all are already here. But somebody might need to hear this because you might have felt like, you know what, I ain't getting nothing out of this. Even if you come and get a nugget or two here or there. But I work all night. That's all right. Like my old pastor used to say, I don't care if you come and you fall asleep. You can get something between naps. Come on. Because I guarantee you, God's word does not return void. Even spoken over you, it will change your life. We can't wait till struggles come to prepare. There has to be some preparation. There has to be some activity and some connection if we want to stand strong. Our scripture says it all in Colossians 2, 6 through 7. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. That word continue to follow, that phrase continue to follow means walk in him or walk with him. A walk with Christ is not a one and done thing. You have to do daily maintenance. That's why he says, if you want to follow me, take up your cross daily. Don't pick it up when it feels convenient. Don't pick it up when you feel like you've got time for me. Don't pick it up when you feel like you've got you want to be a little, you get a case of what my old pastor used to call the do-betters. Well, I'm going to do better. We had a guy that he would do that. He had a baby, and he came in, and, "I'm going to do better, Pastor. I'm going to do better." And he would do better for about 3 or 4 months, and then all of a sudden he'd disappear again. And he'd show up when it was convenient for him, when he didn't have to work, when he didn't have to go to the gym, when he didn't feel like he needed to sleep in, when he didn't have a tummy ache, when he didn't have a headache. Y'all with me? That word walk or follow is in the present tense. It means active and continuing, ongoing process. A walk is very simple. We make following Jesus so complicated. You got to do this, got to do this, got to do this, got to do this. Walking is a two-step process. Right, left, right, left, right, left. That's all Jesus requires of you, is a two-step process. Walk with Him. Read His Word. Study His Word. Spend time with Him. That's all it is. Spending time with Him, reading His Word. It's a two-step process. Just because you went to an altar in 1986 or 1992 and cried out to God, and it does not excuse us from continuing the life-changing act of walking with Him daily. What you had yesterday is not sufficient to sustain you today. How many of you, when you get done with this message, are going to go eat? I can guarantee you, here's the food part. I can guarantee you, I'm going to go eat. Why? I ate yesterday. I ate some hot dogs, and I ate some meatballs last night. We had a good time, and we hung out all day. I didn't do a whole lot, didn't expend a lot of energy. But right now, my stomach is grumbling. You know why? Because I'm hungry. Because what I had yesterday is not sufficient for me today. It's the same in the spiritual realm. You can't live on yesterday's meal and yesterday's manna. You've got to live on what God gives you today. And then you've got to get up tomorrow and you've got to collect again what you need that day. Are you with me? Golly, I'm giving you a whole bunch of stuff that ain't even in my notes. At that moment, when you gave your life to Christ, there was a root that was grown in our lives. There was a seed that was put down, and there was a root that was grown, and it stretched deep in a spiritual way, and it grounded us in God. This is where the analogy of a tree is so amazing to me. A large tree, like an oak tree, like I spoke of earlier, or something similar, or a hickory tree, or something like that, it uses what they call a tap root system. A tap root system. I didn't know this till I studied. So I'm going to fill you in on a little bit about what a tap root system is. A tap root system has one large central root at the very center of the root ball. It is the foundational root that everything else is based on and that every other root connects to bring nourishment to that main root and to that main trunk of the tree that goes up. It is one large central root of that ball. It is the foundational root that everything else is based on. And as the tree matures, secondary root systems form all branching off of that central root so that they can feed back to the same place. Can I tell you something today? Our relationship with Jesus Christ is the central root of who we are in Christ, who we are as walking with Him. And if we do not take care of the central root first, our relationship with Him, we will never be stable enough during the times when troubles come our way and trials come our way and situations come to try to blow us over. I was thinking back to when we would play in my backyard with that hickory tree, and we would use it as a base for a home, as a home base for tag. Anybody ever play that? We would use it as home base, and we'd come running in. We didn't slow up. We'd hit that tree as hard as we could. Bam! I just woke some of you up. We'd hit that tree as hard as we could. Bam! But you know what? That tree never moved. You know why? Because the root system was strong. When the enemy comes against you with sickness, is your root system strong enough to sustain you through that sickness? To where you don't blame God for what's going on? Is your root system strong enough to see you through the darkest times of your life? Is your relationship strong enough? The further we walk with Jesus to build that relationship, the more rooted we become. Colossians 2:7, let your roots grow down into Him and let your lives be on Him. That word roots, I'm going back to the original Greek, it was rizo. And I'm not talking about the little rat on the Muppets, okay? Rizo, R-H-I-Z-O-O. Rizo, and it means to become stable, rooted, strengthened with roots, firmly fixed, thoroughly grounded. You ever seen people who have gotten off of the Word of God and starting to believe some real weird stuff? They weren't thoroughly grounded in their relationship with God. And they started being pulled in different directions. But when you're thoroughly grounded, when the winds of doctrine blow one way or the other way, everything is related to who Jesus is. And you're going, well, you know what? That's not what Jesus says. That's not what His Word says. It's a perfect tense word. That rizo is a perfect tense word. A past action with continuing results. You already have the root in your life, but the results continue today. If you're with me, say I am. Our strength to stand comes from Christ alone. It comes from the love that we have for Him and that He has for us. Ephesians 3:16 and 17 says, I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love. Is your relationship with God based on the love that He has for you and you have for Him? Or is it based on what He can get you? I talked about this last week, I believe. My relationship with my wife is based on the love that we have for each other, not on what she can do for me. It's the same way with Christ. If you just love Him for what He can do for you and make sure that He can give you financial stability and make sure that He can take care of you when you're sick and all, that's not the real root that you need to be digging into. Are you finding it hard to withstand struggles in the struggles that you face? Take a look at your root system. Are you drawing strength from the right place, or are you preparing? Or are you relying on yourself and others? And I'm closing. Over the next 4 weeks, or four messages, I'll say that. This was the fifth one. Over the next four messages in this series, I believe God wants us to connect to our central root again. I'm not saying that people in here are dying and going to hell because you're doing this or doing that. No, there's probably some people in here that you need a relationship with Jesus and you don't have that root system yet. And we're going to address that here in just a second. But God wants us to connect to that central root, Jesus Christ, through other areas of our life. Through areas in our relationships with others. Through areas in our relationship with His Word and with worship. Through service. There's others. But all of those connect back to the relationship with Jesus. And we gain strength from that central root. My question is, are there areas that we might be neglecting or we've even failed to grow in that will feed and grow our relationship with God? Are there some areas in your life where you haven't been tending your roots? Remember, the roots are invisible and unseen most of the time. Yet they control the health of the tree. Your time with God is unseen, but it controls the health of your relationship with Him. Your prayer time with God is unseen. The fact that you're at church or not at church sometimes may go unseen. The daily maintenance is unseen. We've got some people that work in maintenance in our congregation. And right now, they'll tell you most of the stuff that they do, people probably never even notice. But without them, things would fall apart. Why? Because maintenance on the main systems and on the root system is what's important to keep the health of the tree healthy. God wants to strengthen our people and our church's root system. The stronger the root system, the larger the tree can become. I hear all the time, I can't wait to see how God grows our church and how He grows our people. And that's awesome. But what are we doing to help secure our roots? God will only allow us to grow strong enough and big enough where our root system will support it. The stronger our connection with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the more we can impact those around us and grow the kingdom. God wants us to prepare our roots. I want to share one last thing with you, but I want you to stand as I share. It won't be but a second. God wants us to prepare our roots, not just so that we can have stability and nourishment. Those are important parts, but He also wants us to prepare our roots so that we can produce fruit. He wants to prepare us for what He's got ahead of us. Again, I asked God, why in the world are you having me talk about plants? He said, because you're about to see some growth. He said, you're about to see fruit come from the labors that you've been pouring into that church and from the labors that the church has been pouring into for years before you ever even showed up. Again, it's not about me. I'm just a vessel. There's a quote from a man by the name of Guy King. He was a clergyman of the Church of England in the 1940s and 50s. And he says this about fruit. I lived in a certain vicarage for 15 years, which had a pear tree in the garden, but never a respectable pear did it yield me in all that time. Over 15 years, he never saw a good pear come from this tree. Never. He said, I am no gardener, but my successor was. And strange to relate, he had a bumper crop his very first year. And he says, why? Because he went at the roots, which I was too ignorant to do. That's it. Take care of the roots, the secret connection with the soil, the quiet time with God, and the use of His appointed means of grace, the Word, the footstool that we sit on, the table that we sit at with our Father. Again, the secret connections to the soil, the worship and the work, that ye may grow thereby, and that He might be glorified. Not we, but He. He never saw a pear come from that tree because He didn't deal with the roots. Church, I'm ready to see fruit so abundant, not just in this church, but in your lives, that you're giving it away on a regular basis. Fruit financially. Fruit spiritually. Bringing your families coming back to know Jesus. Those that have been strayed away from God. Ministries birthed in your hearts that you thought were long dead, dreams that you thought that God had forgotten, but he's only been incubating in the soil, waiting for your roots to grow deep enough to reach them. Oh, come on. That's a God moment right there. That's a word for somebody. You keep wondering where your dream is, but your roots are not, you're not tending your roots and you're not digging deep enough to tap into that dream yet because you're not ready. God's getting us ready for fruit. If we want to be the tree that Jeremiah spoke of that never ceases bearing fruit, even in the toughest of times, we have to have strong roots. If you're with me, say that.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you be